Sisters, we'll be looking this morning at the seventh commandment found in Exodus 20, verse 14. Let us give our attention to the reading of God's law. Exodus 20, verse 14, "Thou shalt not commit adultery." Well, one of the questions that each and every one of us ask at different times in our lives is, what is God's will for my life? And there's hundreds of books out there dedicated to helping you make decisions according to the Bible. And of course, good books direct you to what Scripture says about the topic. But I'm here to tell you this morning that God has spoken very clearly about what His will for your life is. And He has not left us in the dark, but He has given us His commandments. 1 Thessalonians 4 says, verse 3, "This is the will of God, your sanctification, that you should abstain from sexual immorality." So as we come to the seventh commandment here, all of the commandments are directive of God's will for our life. They tell us what God wills for us. But in particular here, we have the seventh commandment mentioned by Paul in 1 Thessalonians 4, that God's will is our sanctification, in particular that we abstain from sexual immorality. And some of the commandments get applied mostly negatively. Certainly the seventh commandment seems to be applied negatively most of the time. But as we've gone through this series, we've seen how the commandments both forbid certain things and they require certain things of us. And we need to be thinking about not just how we can avoid breaking the seventh commandment, but how we can keep it as well. Question 138 of the Larger Catechism gives us some ideas here. It says, what are the duties required in the seventh commandment? It says, the duties required in the seventh commandment are chastity in body, mind, affections, words, and behavior, and the preservation of it in ourselves and others, watchfulness over the eyes and all the senses, temperance, keeping of chaste company, modesty in apparel, marriage by those that have not the gift of continency, conjugal love, cohabitation, diligent labor in our callings, shunning all occasions of uncleanness, and resisting temptations thereunto. And as always, we can't go through all of these, but we'll select a couple and look at them together. First of all, kind of the overarching one here is chastity in body, mind, affections, words, and watchfulness over the eyes and the senses. In other words, we are to have an awareness of how our behavior communicates to others, what it communicates to others. We are to possess ourselves in such a way, in such a holy way, that we guard against this sexual immorality in ourselves and in others. In that same chapter that I referenced, 1 Thessalonians 4, Paul talks about how to possess your vessel. It says in verse 4 that every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor, not in the lust of concupiscence, even as the Gentiles which do not know God, that no man go beyond and defraud his brother in any matter, because the Lord is the avenger of all such, as we also forewarned you and testified. For God has not called us unto cleanness, but unto holiness. There's different interpretations of what that vessel is. Is it how to acquire a wife, for example? Some people think it may mean that. I think it's more likely that it's talking about how to possess your own vessel, your body, how you are to behave, how you are to act and think and to speak. That it is not to be done as the Gentiles do, in the lustful ways that the Gentiles possess their body. So we need to ask ourselves, do I know how to possess my vessel in sanctification and honor? And those things include our affections, our words, our behavior, our dress. Another one from the Larger Catechism we have here is keeping of chaste company. Now, what was the first mistake that the Proverbs 7 man made? He went near the door of the adulterous woman, didn't he? That was the first mistake. Proverbs 7, that he says, "At the window of my house I looked and beheld among the simple ones, I discerned among the youths a young man of void of understanding, and passing through the street near her corner. And he went the way to her house." This young man, he lacked sense. He was foolish. He was not thinking rightly about the danger that he faced. And as an ox went to the slaughter, he went right near the door. He went right into unchaste company. Verse 25, "Let not your heart decline to her ways. Do not go astray in her paths." So if we want to do the will of God and we want to keep the seventh commandment, we must keep company that is chaste. We must keep company that will not drive us to these temptations and then drive us to these sinful actions. Another one of the catechism we have is diligent labor in our callings. This one's very helpful for young men, I think, and for everybody. You've all heard the phrase before, idle hands are... Yep, you can fill it in. The devil's workshop. When we are not busy with things that are good, Satan has all the more opportunity to tempt us and to take advantage of us. Satan loves it when we loaf around and when we are not doing very much. He's got plenty of things for us to do. If you don't have anything to do, he has lots of ideas for you. I promise you that. So we shouldn't be looking around for something to do with nothing to do. God has given us many good things to do. Many a young man has succumbed to the snare of pornography because he is not busy with good things. One of the best ways we can fight sexual temptation is to be so busy with other things that we simply don't have time to enter into it. Paul addresses this in 2 Thessalonians 3. He says, "We hear that there are some which walk among you disorderly, working not at all, but are busybodies. Now them that are such we command and exhort by our Lord Jesus Christ that with quietness they work and eat their own bread." So I don't know if he was talking directly about sexual immorality here, but he talks about this disorderly behavior. And they were busy, they just weren't busy with good things. It says they were busybodies. So it's not enough just to be busy, but rather we must be busy with the work of the Lord. That may involve laboring in any particular God-honoring calling of work, serving others, engaging in the work of the kingdom, helping the church. Whatever the case, we can help ourselves to keep the seventh commandment by diligent labor in our callings. And as we think about sexual immorality in general and how Satan works, we've thought about how he works with getting us when we're not busy, but we need to understand that with this particular sin, Satan is at work to make this the most attractive thing possible. Satan's device is to take this most dangerous sin and to make it seem the most appealing and the most innocuous, the least dangerous to break. Satan wants you to see breaking the seventh commandment as the most attractive thing, and keeping the seventh commandment as the most dull thing, as the most painful thing, as the most difficult thing. For example, we call many acts of sexual immorality in our culture acts of love, right? How can you be against love? Nobody wants to be against love, right? As the scriptures say, "Woe to those who call evil good and good evil." Brothers and sisters, we must not be ignorant of Satan's devices. We must be on guard. We must be aware that Satan is a lion walking about looking for someone to devour. Satan is good at deceiving people about sexual immorality. But do not be deceived. The sexually immoral will not inherit the kingdom of God. Proverbs tells us about the dangers of sexual immorality, that it is the way of death. The house of adultery and sexual immorality leads to Sheol. But the way of life is found in Christ. The living water is found in Christ. Don't go to fountains of water that are poison and that will kill you. Go to Christ who has true living water and true satisfaction. And there you will find rest for your souls. Let us pray together. Our Father in heaven, we ask that you would show us how we can keep this commandment. Help us to see how perhaps our behaviors, our words, our actions may have caused us to stumble and may have caused our brothers and sisters to stumble. We ask that as we walk throughout this week, that you would lead us not into temptation, but you would deliver us from the evil one who seeks to destroy us. Help us, give us eyes to see that we would not be deceived by what appears to be good, but that is in fact evil. Help us to understand the deceptive devices of Satan. Help each and every one of us to find satisfaction in that which truly satisfies, not in those things that will only leave us empty and lead us to death. And now we do each take a moment to confess our own sins before the Lord.